Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to what I hope is a special edition of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry to discern and deconstruct what they do to help you grow your agency faster. I hope it's a special edition. I'm not sure we did our job because I'm not sure we found a genius because I am my own guest today. And if I called myself a genius, if she were around, my mom would not be too pleased with that. But I have paid very close attention to this industry for 25 years. I suppose I've had the, in some ways, the world's most unique job for 25 years. All I've done is focus and pay attention to what's working and what's not for the retail insurance agent, particularly in regards to organic growth. And in that period, virtually all of my clients have been insurance organizations, primarily agencies and brokerages, with rare exceptions, and have coached, consulted, trained thousands in one form or another, over 10,000 insurance agencies in the United States, Canada, as well as Asia, Europe. And I've also started, and Africa, now that I think of it, and of course started a technology and then successfully sold that to private equity. So now, from my unique position in the happy casita in the foothills of the Continental Mountains in Arizona, I get to do what I love to do, focus on you, and try to discern what's happening, what do you need to pay attention to, and how can I package that in a way that my clients will thrive. So, for those of you who missed part one of my state of the industry address, so to speak, you can please continue with this one, and then when you get a chance, go back and listen to part one. Also, before I get started, first of all, thank you for all of those who requested a written copy of my State of the Industry report. I have set your request momentarily aside while I finish. I'm so close to being done. I think I'd rather get you a completed copy, maybe with typos, maybe not, rather than a rough draft. So, and again, for those of you who would like a copy, I'll get you one by email. Email me and ask for it, State of the Industry, at michael@agencyrevolution.com. So I'm going to go right into my conversation with you. I have identified four trends that I feel now, in 2018, you have to pay attention to. There is no choice, no way to disregard, best not to put your head in the sand, but also, as I will discuss a little in a little bit more detail later, it's also not good simply to be anxious or nervous about this. It's best for us to have clear strategy, clear understanding of what's happening in the world, and smooth execution. So, and I do cover some of those elements of what strategy is, how it's different than tactics, and how it aligns every single behavior, every single task, every single conversation in your agency, so they're all going in the same direction, and ideally they're all going in the right direction. I cover that in part one. So again, worth going back to listen to part one, but go ahead and let's continue with this one. So I have identified four forces that we need to attend to, plus a couple of honorable mentions. If I have time, I'll get to it at the end of this conversation. Trend number one, which I covered in detail, the accelerated digitization of the connected economy. including its impact on consumer behavior, competition, and existing industry players. Trend number two, the progressive impending rise of competitive insurance channels. And now I'm prepared to talk to you about trend number three. The rise of the powerful and very different millennial generation becoming both the largest consumer class and supplier of agency employees. Well, here's something that may set you back. As I recall, I got this information from excellent reporting and analysis by Reagan & Associates. The average agency principal that has 20% or more equity is 55 years old. And then if we look at the average agency principal that has 17% or more equity, the average age is 66 years old. And agency principals aren't the only, quote-unquote, old worker in the insurance industry. McKinsey & Company recently estimated that 25% of insurance workers will be retirement-ready in or before 2018. They said that about 2 or 3 years ago. It would seem that this might be a kind of old industry. Now, contrast that with today's consumer, the millennial generation. At roughly 20 to 36 years old is the largest generation in North America. In the United States alone, there are 83 million of them, and they are taking over the economy. And what is particularly pertinent to the insurance industry is that as these millennials mature, their values mature. They need more insurance. So these are people who are buying cars. They're buying homes. They're running businesses. Yes, their behavior is somewhat different than boomers, but as they mature, their values mature, and they need more insurance. And if it frightens you, let me give you a glimmer of hope. These people are not lost to the agency channel. I want to destroy a common myth that millennials only care about price. It's not true. One survey that I quote in my report reports that the millennial generation is, this might surprise you, the most loyal generation to their favorite brands, with over 60% of them claiming that they are often or always loyal to their favorite brands. And as it is with most customer relationships, price doesn't disappear with purchasing value as a purchasing value. It's still there, but millennials forced brands to raise their game, to up their game on key values of things like trust, connectedness, authenticity. These are the very values that allow agencies to transcend the low customer lifetime value of selling insurance as a commodity, which I do talk about in some detail in part one. The money is, as I have said, in the relationship, and it is when we strategically align our organization around maximum customer lifetime value, and we do that by earning trust. So how does the modern agency earn the loyalty of this somewhat different emerging powerhouse of a generation? Well, first of all, we have to understand them. Number one, these people are connected. 80% of millennials use 2 or 3 devices every single day. 30% of them use 4 or more devices every single day. These are the people that we call digital natives, and they simply expect their brands to be there. If they want to have a relationship, be where I am. So they expect them to be there with them online. So in addition to researching you, which they will do online, they will also talk about you. Whether they're happy or unhappy, 43.5% of millennials report spreading the word about products and services to their online networks. And I'm sure you've seen it. Reviews are among the ways that they do that. It's not that they, number two, understanding this generation, it isn't that they buy online, but they discover online. A majority of millennials make most purchases offline, but they do take their pre-purchase online research very seriously. 93% of them claim that they rely on blogs and online reviews to influence their purchase. So yes, For those of you who are wondering, should I blog? There are numerous reasons to do so. One, of course, is search engine optimization. Another one is that 33% of millennials say that they rely, quote, mostly on blogs before they make a purchase. Item number three in understanding millennials. Old school advertising doesn't work with them. Now, I know that people are notoriously bad at evaluating their own influences, but only 1% of millennials said that even a compelling advertisement would make them trust a brand more. So no, they're not looking for you to interrupt their day with traditional advertising, interrupt their reading, interrupt their surfing. They grew up with Fast Forward or DirecTV or a TiVo that makes ads go away. That's not what they want. In fact, they resent that. What they are looking for is authenticity. An agency's typical claims about itself appear to pale compared to its ability to present itself as genuine, caring about and being close to the customer, and as a viable and positive force in the community. 75% say that it's either fairly or very important that a company gives back to society. And of course, if you are, if you're active in the community, if you're giving to your charitable organizations or nonprofits, if you are giving your time, these are the things that should be on your site and in your blogs. And item number four is that they want to be close to you and vice versa. Keep in mind that there are certain big sociological trends that have affected or influenced the psychology of this generation. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but they got hammered. They got really, really hurt by a recession caused by global forces out of their control. They endured the longest wars in United States history, forces out of their control. They are actively looking for who they can trust, and they do rely on their community to help direct them. 62% of millennials say that if a brand engages with them on social media, it will enhance their loyalty. Perhaps more striking, 42% say that they are interested in helping companies co-create future products and services. Now, of course, you might be thinking, well, they can't co-create my insurance product. No. If the perception is that all you do is sell a commodity or that you are nothing but a pass-through for the manufacturer of the product, then no, they can't help you. On the other hand, if you perceive your agency as really being fully responsible for the customer journey, then yes, they can. If you perceive that that insurance product floats through your agency, gets touched by human hands in a positive way, then by engaging with that generation, they want to help you make that better. So what is the strategic response to the rise of this powerful and somewhat psychologically different generation, this millennial generation? Which is so important, again, not only is these are the insurance buyers of today and tomorrow, but these are also the team members, the workers, the employees of today, hopefully, and tomorrow. Many trends can be difficult to predict. Certainly, those of us who are in the business, we can look at what's happening in the world and we can do our best, make some assessments about what's going to happen. But trends tend to be nonlinear. They tend to kind of present themselves in stops and jerks. And sometimes they come out of the blue and we say, gosh, I should have seen that coming. And boom, all of a sudden it's there. This trend is different. This is math. We know how big this generation is, and we know how they will age, and we know how the boomer generation will age out and essentially require less attention and less insurance. We know that these guys are taking over the economy. So we have to act quickly to attract them both as the substantial and growing segment of our customer base, but also as part of our workforce. And their demand for engagement and real value and meaningful experience pushes today's agency into, I think, into the absolute right direction for maximum customer lifetime value. It moves us into the most lucrative territory where, in fact, yes, we're engaged with our customers, we're adding extra value, and we're delivering a customer journey that gives a customer experience that is unique and that is special. That actually is the right place to be, and it moves us away from being commodity brokers, where there is terribly high customer churn, where there is terribly low lifetime customer value. So, where do we go from here? We simply have to act very quickly, and we need to become that engaged organization that takes those values seriously. We must invest in the technologies that allow us to scale appropriately, scale communications appropriately, touch people in a way that's meaningful. We must also invest in mastering the skills that allow us to do that. Ideally, not relying. I want to give good credit to the carriers who create content and then give you permission to pass that on. But there's nothing. They're doing that because they know the agency force isn't doing it. There's nothing as valuable as delivering and creating original content through the technologies that I'm talking about. Those are also we're killing two birds with one stone here, because not only does this allow us to connect with the largest and growing consumer base that we need in order to survive. But it also, this is the kind of technology that a millennial worker wants to see. They do not want to walk into a workplace that feels like it's 1990. They want to walk into a workplace that feels like it's today with modern technologies. And so through those technologies, we have to attend to certain things that overall the industry has been a little bit lazy about: providing unique value at the retail level, guiding that customer journey, and respecting the interests of the individual customer. That's trend number three, the millennials. Trend number four. Trend number four is a little bit different. And what I'm referring to is the accelerating rate of change in business and industry itself. So it's not just that the economy and the consumer is connected. It's not just that emerging competitors or competitive channels are arising to compete with us. It's not just that the millennial generation is taking over the economy. Trend number four is the very speed with which that's happening. About 5 years ago, I conducted an industry-wide survey when I was the CEO of Agency Revolution. And through its fairly formidable communication capabilities and the size of the list that I was able to communicate with, I conducted a very, very brief industry-wide survey with one question, which you may as well ask yourself right now. One question, which was, are you worried that your agency is not keeping up with today's consumer? A rather astounding 96% said, yes, I'm worried. It seems like the world is changing faster than my agency. A generation ago, the behaviors of today's consumer were unimaginable. Why? Because they were largely impossible. Technology has allowed certain behaviors to become not just common, it's every day, that we didn't think were possible. Savvy agent of today should not expect that pace to slow down. More than likely. You're probably familiar with Moore's Law. Moore's Law essentially projects roughly a doubling of processing speed every 2 years. And then along with that, of course, new technologies and new capabilities that are enabled by that processing speed. Consumer practices kind of run along a parallel track. So, in other words, we don't go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. We go to 1 to 2, 4, 16, 64, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, by the time we get to step 5, 6, or 7, I can't even keep up with how much change. It's an exponential level of change. And to a large extent, this is an industry that may not be terribly well prepared for that pace of change. We are an industry that has relied on stability. One of the reasons that insurance works is because it's stable. And we devote millions and millions of dollars to rating companies that can declare that one's stable. It's a very high value. I have had an ongoing joke with a colleague of mine in an insurance company about the relationship that I had once with that company. And the joke was, Michael, you're operating at internet speed, and remember, we're operating at insurance speed. And that is that's potentially a very serious problem. You could say a new arrow is needed in the insurance quiver. And that arrow is speed itself. When Jack Welch was the CEO of General Electric, he said, if the rate of change on the outside exceeds the rate of change on the inside, then the end is near. That's a problem. I'll let you be the judge as to whether or not there is a differential in the rate of change outside and the rate of change in your organization, whether it's an insurance company or you're a vendor in the industry or you're an agency or broker. You got to be the judge of that. But overall, the industry tends to move more slowly, very cautiously, hence opening itself up to challenges from insurtechs, for example. There are three ways that agencies can react to today's rate of change. Number one, complacency. After all, if you show up to work on Tuesday and look around, it's probably going to feel an awful lot like Monday. And if you show up to work on Wednesday, it's going to look and feel an awful lot like Tuesday, and so on and so on. It's almost like boiling the frog, not one degree at a time, but like 1/10, 1/20 of a degree at a time. Nobody notices. But then in the insurance world, we proceed a few weeks, a few months, a few years, and guess what? It doesn't look or feel the same. We look around and we see consumers doing odd things that we didn't pay that much attention to, and consumers demanding odd things that we didn't think were all that important back in 1995. I'll recall something I said in part one, where I referenced Jim Keyes, CEO of Blockbuster. I think it was in 2005 or 2008. When he said, Netflix is not even on our radar. Boom, 2 years later. Yeah, it was 2008. 2 years later, 2010, filed for bankruptcy. Complacency is not strategy. The second one is really kind of radically different than that, but the result is largely the same, which is looking around, seeing change, being uncomfortable with it, and responding with anxiety. Anxiety is not strategy either. And I recognize it's probably difficult for a lot of agency principals who were trained in insurance. Maybe they have their CIC or their CPCU. They may know more about a certain coverages than anybody alive. And now all of a sudden, they pick up a trade magazine, they hear me, go to a conference, and everybody is saying, go digital. What does that mean? And so a common response is, with lack of clarity, feeling anxiety. Anxiety rarely leads to smart decisions because we don't get the distance we need to look back, assess the situation, and determine the best course of action, and almost never leads to smooth execution. The third possible response is urgency. The knowledge of what's happening now, in the world now, is core to the creation of a sound strategy. And the willingness and the ability to guide a team quickly towards some transformative action is the test of leadership. And I think it's the test that agency and industry leaders as a whole are being called to take right now. Today's agent has to look at the forces that we've been talking about here and has to make clear strategic decisions. And they have to back those decisions up with compelling and inspired leadership. And that happens when there is a sense of urgency. It's the, you know, it's the fourth quarter. We're down by 10. But we can win if we focus, execute the game really well, but also have our play determined by a clear strategy. So what is the appropriate strategic response to the accelerating rate of change in business and in industry itself? Well, I recall I was reading the New York Times. It was 3 years ago now. It was like this. I know it was this month. And Ellen Carney, who was and is, I think, the chief insurance analyst for Forrester, was quoted. The headline said, roughly, there are 40,000 agencies in the U.S., and you could absolutely imagine them shrinking by a quarter. And then when I pursued her and had an opportunity to track her down, spend some quality time with her, and then interview her in a podcast last year, she provided a little further insight on her thinking. And she said, quote, right now consumers are looking for a great experience. Other industries have raised the bar for insurance carriers and agents. Consumers aren't just ready to defect, but to tell the world about their crappy experience. That really does sum up a lot of what's happening, is that consumers now are used to elegant, smooth, delightful commercial relationships. And when they're happy about it, especially the millennial generation, when they're happy about it, they tell people about it. And when they're unhappy about it, guess what they do? They tell a lot of people about it. And that is kind of the double-edged sword that insurance agents need to live with. We have to do better, and if we don't, the world will know about it. On the other hand, as was demonstrated by some excellent research, which I have cited in my report by Bain and Company, when somebody achieves a level of a sort of self-recognized loyalty, that's my agency, that's my agent, that's who I'm connected to, when they feel that, they bring their friends, they bring their family, they bring their colleagues. And there's sort of a weird but wonderful part of psychology that means that those friends and those family members and those colleagues, they come pre-baked with loyalty. This is like magic marketing. As a 25-year marketer, I couldn't have made up a better scenario than that one. I couldn't have dreamed up a better scenario than that one. Earn loyalty. And your loyal customers are going to bring you more customers, and those customers are going to be loyal already. I'm not saying that this so-called reckoning of today's insurance agency with the demands of today's consumer is doom and gloom. Entrepreneurs will navigate and innovate. And I have no doubt that of the roughly 40,000 or so retail insurance agents in the U.S., some industry transformers will no doubt rise to the top. Unfortunately, as an industry that to some extent, as I have said, was largely invented by the carrier segment to do their necessary bidding, a lot of agents have adopted that role of being a pass-through. In fact, the word agent really means that my power comes from someplace else. In some ways, I wish we could throw that word out. And all too frequently, we have agency owners who don't function as true entrepreneurs. The entrepreneurs, I think, are the ones who really will survive. Those who continue to act like it's 1995, those are the ones who I think are going to be hurt. So, what do we have to do? Number one, agencies have to behave. There's a term in software called full stack, where a software company more or less owns, you know, the whole soup to nuts. They built, they engineered the whole soup to nuts product that they deliver to the consumer. I'm going to submit that I think agencies have to behave as if they were full stack businesses. In other words, agency leaders have to take responsibility for the full customer experience. Even though they get the product, it's generally going to come from someplace else. That's okay. Any business gets some form of supply from someplace else, whether it's parts or wholes. It's purchasing something from the outside world, bringing it in and making it better. That's the definition of an entrepreneur, taking something of lower value and converting it or transforming it to something of higher value. So I think very quickly, agencies have to adopt that as their mindset. So they take those things they get from the outside world, and as it passes through, they make it better for the consumer. They make the experience better. They add value of their own to it, and the consumer will recognize that. It can't just be mere pass-throughs, and it's not no longer satisfactory to be a quote-unquote sales organization that's just selling a product or selling a commodity. Number two, this is a maxim I believe in very strongly. The end product of a retail agency is not a, quote, policy sold. The end product of your agency is a loyal customer. Okay, so rather than look at the insurance factory, like we put a product on at the beginning and boom, we're done with the conveyor belt when it's sold. I'd rather look at it from a human perspective. We put a prospect on the front of the conveyor belt and we move them through a journey, and we're not done really ever. But metaphorically, we're done when they become a loyal customer. And then we maintain that loyalty in the relationship throughout our lifetime and the customer lifetime. So we achieve maximum customer lifetime value. To a mature and innovative agency, the policy is just one puzzle piece in a fully integrated and innovative value proposition that is your unique intellectual property. Ideally, you've designed it, you own it, nobody else does it like you do it. And it is designed based on your profound understanding of the psychology and the needs and the desires of your customer base. And so, yes, very quickly, decisions have to be made. Number one, got to invest in the technologies that are going to allow you to guide that customer journey. But ideally, boom, decision number two is you invest in the skills and the capabilities so that your agency, whether it's you or team members, can master the use of those technologies. And often that means original content creation. Item three. Agency leadership has to align their culture behind the strategic direction. In other words, you've heard the term, perhaps, or the phrase, perhaps, culture eats strategy for breakfast. It's not because culture is better, but if the culture doesn't support the strategy, it's going to sabotage it. So team members, they must support the behaviors that certain behaviors that might be foreign to previous experience, like, gosh, we've been doing it this way for 20 years. Why should we change now? Well, that gets back to the issue of urgency and the issue of leadership. What are those behaviors that might be foreign? Well, we shouldn't sell to everyone. We should vigorously and unabashedly push for customer full protection. They should have all of the policies that they need in order to be fully protected. And we can't forget about the customer in between policy renewals. So the orientation towards the customer needs to be much more proactive and much more responsible. Item number four, many agencies have to realign their organizational structure. This is a big issue. And surprisingly, while most of my clients come to me for issues of organic growth, quite often we end up dealing with non-marketing issues like this one. What's wrong with your organizational structure? Well, I've seen so many agencies where there are mergers and acquisitions or multi-generational accommodations, father-son, father-daughter, blah, 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 that often result in a very weak or confusing organizational design, so that clear decision-making, authority, and accountability is just not there. And so, you know, we all get along, so we all make the big decisions ourselves. And I just can't imagine a Fortune 500 company even beginning to think that way. And yet, so many agencies do. And so they make decisions by committee, which ultimately means no decisions get made at all. I will urge agencies, allow the leadership to make decisions and then let them be held accountable to the shareholders or the board of directors. But let the president or the CEO be the president or the CEO, and let each of the managers report to that person, and let each of them be responsible for their part of the organization and be held accountable, ideally within the context of a strategy that addresses the issues that we're talking about today. Next item, very closely related, many agencies must, again, we're addressing the issue of speed. Bad organizational design totally impedes the ability to be fast, and so does this point. Many agencies must establish a clear cadence of organizational discipline. Again, same issue. Most of my clients come to me for marketing, and then why does nothing get done in your organization? Often it's a lack of organizational discipline. Far too many agencies, even though maybe successfully, they've floated through years without a marketing plan, without a business plan, without a budget that reflects that plan, and without a standard rhythm of goal setting and objective setting and accountability and reporting and monitoring. It's a very, we know that that's a standard a practice in business. Within the context of the strategy, what's the goal and what are the objectives to support the goal, you know, and then what's the plan that's going to help you achieve that? And then you're held accountable And hopefully the organization supports everybody and their success. And then finally, leadership must move more fully into a leadership role. And I realize I've run small businesses all my life. And so I know that it's so often the case that individuals have to wear a lot of hats, right? So everybody's, you know, got to be the chief cook and the bottle washer. Unfortunately, given the speed and the power of the trends that we're talking about, today's business environment very well may penalize agencies that rely too heavily on leaders who aren't leading and who are, I'm not saying that a leader can't be a producer, but they also have to be a leader. So they can't be a producer or a fill-in-the-blank anything if they are, in fact, sacrificing strategy and execution. Successful entrepreneurs, they're ruthless about the use of their time. Agency leadership has to do the same, has to examine what they do with their time, and they have to look for that 80-20 principle and assess, where am I going to get the most results for the time that I invest? They have to, as it were, become insurepreneurs. All right. I have covered the four forces that I think are so powerful that they simply cannot be ignored. I want to touch on two other forces that I'm only going to touch on. You know, of course, I could have a list of 10 or 20. Too many is too many. Good strategy requires focus. There are a couple that I almost put on the list, and I suspect that in some upcoming analysis that I do, they will make some list. Right now, they're on my list of honorable mentions. The first one is the tremendous infusion of private equity firms and private equity money in the industry. Now, private equity's been around in our space for some time, but nothing like it is today. I know one company that's buying one or two agencies every single week, and there are more private equity firms present than I can keep track of. Now, that being said, what does that mean? Well, obviously, one thing it means is that for those of you who are 55 or 67 or 66, and you've got a piece of equity, probably increases your, you know, the value of the agency. So that's a consideration. But as to whether or not it has transformed the industry, let me make a couple of comments. First of all, as I recall, it was Reagan & Associates' excellent report that indicated that there were, I think they tracked 457 acquisitions in 2016, I think it was. That's still, I mean, it's more than 1%, but it's less than 2%. So that let's say that's not quite dramatic enough to make this list. It's transformed the lives of people who have sold at higher valuations, but I'm not certain that it's transformed the industry behavior yet. Now, here's the other comment that I want to make about that. Bigger doesn't mean better. So I'm going to roughly paraphrase a quote from Michael Porter, the godfather of strategy itself, when he said that lacking innovation, lacking a true competitive advantage, many companies simply rely on acquisition in order to grow. And he said that in a very critical tone. In other words, essentially what he is saying and what he does stand for is the power of strategy to accelerate growth. And the kind of growth that delivers high margins and maximum customer lifetime value. And unfortunately, just getting more stuff doesn't deliver that competitive advantage. So far, and I'm willing to open my eyes or get my eyes opened or have somebody show me other examples. So far, the private equity firms that I am aware of have not transformed the value proposition of the agencies that they own. What they have done is they've just gotten a lot more of them. Now, that does, that provides value. In the private equity world, with which I've got some familiarity, there's value in that for them. But whether or not that has created a unique competitive advantage that makes them the irreplaceable broker for their customer base remains to be seen. I haven't seen it. Now, that being said, they have the resources, and nothing would make me happier because ultimately I'm an advocate for the consumer as well as for small business and for the independent agency sector. But there certainly would be some terrific breakthrough if one or more of these private equity firms said, you know what, let's take some of these resources and transform this industry. Let's disrupt the way that this industry serves its customer. So haven't seen it yet, monitoring it very closely. The second honorable mention trend is what you might call the Internet of Things. Potentially the massive shift of risk that takes risk out of the protective hands of the insurance agent and perhaps moves it into a different sphere, like direct from the carrier. And perhaps the most obvious and striking example of that is self-driving cars, autonomous driving cars. When that happens, then things radically do change. Now, why am I not putting that on the list right now? There it is. It's an honorable mention. It's worth paying attention to. I will address this in more detail in some upcoming analysis. I do think that in the long run, this does put the personal lines agency at some risk, and they should be considering some diversification. However, I want to address an issue that's come up in previous podcasts because I disagree with one or more of my guests. One or more of my guests have said that the independent agency should cede personal lines, should give it up. I disagree. And I've got clients. In fact, oddly, the clients that I have that are growing roughly at the 35 to 40% growth rate, a preponderance of them are in personal lines, and the margins that they got because they've automated so much, right? They've automated, engaged their customers, and they've grown. Admittedly, turn the clock back 5 or 10 years, let's say 10 years, and there were some trends that were happening. McKinsey reported on them and said that the economics of the independent agency system were unraveling. And it was, to some extent, because, frankly, the economics were such that the commission was such that it really was impossible to be in a proactive relationship with the customer base. So if you had 3, 5, or 10,000, 20,000 customers, then the likelihood that you were establishing a real relationship with them was very, very small. Technology has changed that. I mean, so that's the good news. The connecting technologies like marketing automation have now allowed, if they're integrated with the agency management system, they allow for elegant, meaningful, personalized, customized, nichified communications with the customer. So, boom, let's throw that one out. So, I'm going to sum up where we are. And again, I'll remind you, if you'd like a copy of my State of the Industry report, I'll get you one. Email me, michael@agencyrevolution.com. Trend number one, the connected economy, the accelerated digitization of consumers in the competition. What are you going to do about it? Absolutely have to make appropriate investments in the technologies that allow you to connect with your customer base because they are demanding it. And as an important subset of that concept, you've got to be able to not just have the technology, you have to be able to use it well. And because these technologies deliver content, ideally move toward mastering the capability of creating original content. Trend number two, the rising competition. new channels, emerging channels, even the existing direct marketing channel. This is at the almost at the heart of everything that I think I stand for in my message to you. Focus where you can win, and where you can win is not where the other channels will beat you at price or convenience. Where you'll win, I'm not saying ignore price and convenience, but focus on where the money is, and the money's in the relationship, and there's proof that if you can provide a satisfying, delightful, meaningful journey to your customers, they will reward you. The money's in the relationship. Trend number three, the rise of the millennials. It's a new generation. They've got new values and new behaviors, and they're so big you can't ignore them. What are you going to do? You have to be attractive to millennials. You have to become a modern workplace that then connects digitally with millennials on their terms, providing genuine meaning and value and authenticity. And trend number four, the sheer pace of change itself, as Jack Welch said. If the rate of change on the outside exceeds the rate of change on the inside, then the end is near. Catch up. Be a leader. When change is fast, speed is strategy. Become a learning organization. That's absolutely critical. Not only do team members probably need to learn certain new behaviors, but agency principals need to be obsessive about learning. You need your own accelerated learning path. You need to be able to consume information and digest the value of it as quickly as you can. So where does that put us right now? I'm going to sum this up as quickly as I can. Deepen relationships with your customer base and your marketplace to secure maximum customer lifetime value. Do it by mastering modern technologies and content marketing delivered through those technologies. Attract millennials as customers and team members, again, using modern technologies that make it a desirable workplace and that then allow you to connect with your customer base, and do it fast and learn to be fast. Leaders lead. That's my message for today. For those of you who missed part one, I'll encourage you to catch that when you can. If you'd like a copy of the report, email me. As soon as it's done, I'll get it out to you as quickly as I can. If you have any comments or questions or thoughts that you'd like to share with me, please feel free to email me. Thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.